Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today's guest is Vincent Bradley, and he is CEO and co-founder over at Proper Wild. Vincent, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. Excited to be here and have an opportunity to talk a little bit about Proper Wild today.
All right, man. So excited to have you as well. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, before we get into Proper Wild, I see your co-founder here. Were you always an entrepreneur? Was it in your blood, or how'd you start?
Yeah, I started building software companies, initially mobile apps and iOS, and then marketing sites for local businesses back in Michigan when I was 17. So I caught the tech bug early on and then moved out to SF after college. Was lucky enough to join a company that got acquired by Amazon and then started my own fintech company, which we built and sold and over the course of 5 years and sold in 2017. So been pretty lucky. I think there's a lot of luck involved in entrepreneurship to go along with all the blood, sweat, and tears and pain.
Yeah.
That's kind of my quick background, and then decided to jump into CPG and food because it was just a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. So Proper Wild is my kind of entry into that space. And we've been at Proper Wild now for almost 3.5 years, 4 years almost now.
So we got a Michigander here. Come on. I'm from Michigan too. I love it. Like where'd you go to school?
I went to Michigan, so go blue.
Oh, there you go. My mom went to Michigan. I'm one of those weird people that I like both. I mean, I went to Michigan State, but my mom went to Michigan. So I was watching Charles Woodson in the Big House and like had a great childhood at U of M and doing all those things. So yeah, so I'm one of the rare people that like both, and I don't really, you know.
Listen, I love everyone from Michigan.
I love Michigan.
Yep, exactly. The only thing I probably don't root for and don't like is Ohio. So we'll leave it at that.
I figured that. All good, all good. So from, I guess, going from the tech space to this, I mean, that's quite a change. Or am I off on that? Like, how did that take place?
Yeah, it was a big change for sure. In the tech space, my bread and butter, like what I got excited about was interacting with customers and building great world-class user experiences. I kind of came from like the design product side. And I mean, the thing I love about tech is how quickly you can move, how quickly you can iterate, how quickly you can fail and learn. Mm-hmm. And I think like applying a lot of those principles to CPG was exciting for me because it's CPG is historically like way slower, you know, retail
for sure.
First.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, when we started Proper Wild, like one of our initial principles was like, let's try to validate this and test and move and bring our learnings from the tech space to physical CPG. And so we launched online. We really focused on subscription. We iterated our product 6 times over the first year and a half. Like we had to make improvements. We had to learn. And I think that's been really key to our success. I think like the other thing too was there's something really awesome about having a physical product in the market. You know, we're in about 4,000 stores today, going towards 10,000 by the end of Q2. And like, it's exciting to be able to walk outside and see someone holding your product or see someone, you know, see your product in the store. So it was just like, I've had some success in tech and I wanted to try it as a different sector. And I've been able to, you know, translate a lot of the things that made me successful building software towards CPG. And so definitely a lot of other challenges though, a lot of new things.
Yeah, for sure. And I've seen quite a few tech entrepreneurs try to make that jump or they just, you know, want that physical product or that other thing. It's kind of like the unknown, right? Like you don't know until you try and you kind of want that feeling that you just mentioned of somebody holding your product and having a physical product. And I've seen many attempt that and kind of spin their wheels or like, you know, it just wasn't the same. Their skills or their entrepreneurial experience didn't translate into this space. For you, I'm curious, like, what do you think, like, how do you think you were able to make that shift? What are some of the things that you think made this work for you? Where I feel like so many haven't been able to make that jump because it's different.
Yeah, it's very different, and I think it also depends on the product you're doing. So
for sure,
our Proper Wild is a tiny plant-based energy shot. We use no preservatives, no artificial sweeteners. It's essentially the most convenient, healthiest energy drink on the market, and it does lend itself for subscription because it's small. It's a daily habit-forming type product. It's a dietary supplement, so it's something that like if someone likes. It's something they're going to subscribe to, and the size of the product, so fulfillment cost and, acquisition, like the business model essentially works online. Whereas if you're selling a bag of potato chips or a 12-ounce drink, and it's just like, it's not necessarily like a subscription.
You're fighting for shelf space with everybody else then, right? Like you're not building necessarily a habit, like the habit of like Fritos versus yours is like, 50 years of programming or whatever. You're fighting for that, right?
Yeah, and the business model also doesn't really work for online. And I think that is like...
When you say that, you mean like shipping, you mean like cost, you mean like just period, yeah?
Yeah, like when you take in there, when you look at the full like business model, like customer acquisition, let's say your customer acquisition is $50 and your fulfillment cost is $10, so you're $60 into it now, and then your cost of goods to make that product is $10. So you're $70 into it. And then your first time order, is like $50. Well, you've just lost $20. Mm-hmm. So that business doesn't work. But if you get that person to buy now 10 times over the next year, now you're breaking even on month two, you're profitable on month three, you're profitable. So if a lot of CPG products just are never going to work in, are never going to work online, whereas our product does. And so we were able to build a profitable foundation online and then like, okay, let's go figure out retail. If you're trying to figure out retail for the first time, you have almost no shot. That's been my learning experience. It's taken us 3 years, and we are
for all the founders out there that are trying to figure it out for the first time, all their heads just slumped. It's okay. It's okay. Go ahead.
Yep. It's a combination of everyone always says, oh, retail is expensive. You don't really understand what that means until you're doing your first retail deal and you look at like your margins are less than you thought they were going to be. And then you got to run promotions and then there's chargebacks and then there's slotting fees, and by the time you get through everything, like you're losing money on your first two orders, and you're not making money until that third or fourth order. And then if your product doesn't sell on retail, you've essentially lost money. So like retail is very difficult. Also, think about it from this perspective. You walk into your average C-store, gas station, or CVS, there can be 20 to 40,000 items in that store, that SKUs. And the people that are stocking those products in the store that work in that store, they don't care about your product. You are just another product to them. So like, it's really easy for your product to not be forward facing. It's really easy for your product to be out of stock. It's really easy for your product to be put in the wrong spot in the store. You have a lot of things to overcome. And when you're a startup, you don't have, Coke and Pepsi and Frito-Lays and these big companies, Altria, they have loads of people going into the store, making sure all of their products are perfectly merchandised, perfectly placed, always in stock.
They have relationships, so they even know, like, that same guy's been stocking that Coke or whatever the thing is, or bag, chips things the whole time. They probably know the people that are working in the store, so they actually do care about their product because they've built these relationships. It's a long-term, it's hard. I get what you're saying. So for you being the new guy on the block, they don't even know who you are.
So not to sound too negative, but my advice is have someone on your team or in your network who understands retail and have a plan to attack it on day one. And understand if your business can actually work online. Because if you put all your marbles in that, well, we're going to sell it online first and then flip to retail, that's not a good strategy if you don't have a clear understanding of like how your business works online. Basically has to have a really long tail, repurchase.
So for originally even going into this, it sounds to me, or correct me if I'm off on this, you already kind of knew that the product wise, if you could, because you said you said six or multiple reiterations of the actual product itself the first year. I'm guessing was that for formula, but I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, but then the actual, the product itself, you kind of knew going into it that if you could figure it out that the numbers would back out. Is anything that I'm saying incorrect?
Yeah, exactly. And we knew that, you know, at this price point, with this, mm-hmm. you know, repurchase rate of, you know, if we bring in 100 people, hey, if 25 or 30 people become long-term customers and they subscribe for 10 months and this is our fulfillment, we built out what a successful business model looked like. Mm-hmm. And then we pressure tested those assumptions against benchmarks. And we were like, yeah, this can work. Like this can mm-hmm. work. There's similar products in the market or similar styles of product that have these levels of repurchase rate, these levels of customer acquisition, you know, this level of average order value, like this type of lifetime customer value. And we were able to be like, okay, this can work. And I think that that's, you know, if you can have a good plan and reduce the chaos and mm-hmm. reduce the just trying to wing it, your plan can change on a day-to-day basis, but I think you got to have a plan. And so that's, you know, that's been our key. Like we fail a lot at them. We make a lot of mistakes, but we learn fast and then we come up with a new plan and then we implement and we learn and we test. Mm-hmm. And then we, you know, if we have to pivot, we pivot again. And I started this company because I was drinking a ton of coffee. It was hurting my stomach and I wanted something better. And as I went down the rabbit hole, I learned about matcha and just the benefits of caffeine and L-theanine. But I wanted something more convenient than having to, like, the matcha tea bags are not very good and, like, proper matcha is really time consuming. And so I was like, man, I wish I just had, like, the organic caffeine from green tea, L-theanine from green tea. Let's put that in a bottle. Let's use no preservatives, no artificial sweeteners, like, no poison and junk. Like, is it possible? And then could we make it taste good? And that was kind of the origin. And we've identified a big opportunity in the market because it's a functionally like the best. You feel amazing when you take Proper Wild and it's so convenient. So now our challenge is just about getting it everywhere and making sure everyone knows about it, which is challenging. You know, we're competing with a lot of big companies.
Of course. And you're a product guy. So when you were going into the, you know, the original formulation and reiterating this thing, like what did that process look like? Cause that's a little different too.
Yeah. It's really hard with food because mm-hmm. for me, it was like, I want something that I feel good about putting into my body every day, which means no preservatives, no artificial sweeteners. So now when you remove preservatives, now you have a shelf life issue. Because retailers and distributors don't want to buy products that only have, you know, or if they need to be refrigerated, they have 2 weeks. You just narrow the window of who you can do business with. You can't sell it on Amazon. Like, I can't work direct to consumer because it's refrigeration. Your fulfillment cost is like $25 just for the box. So for me, it was like, okay, I want something that I feel good about putting into my body. So we identified hot fill. If you hot fill, you pasteurize the product and you don't have to use preservatives. Artificial sweeteners we removed. So now we're using like organic juices and we're using pink Himalayan sea salt and things to help balance the flavor of the caffeine, which is very bitter. And all of these were challenges, but it was really important to me, Adam, that it was a product that I personally felt good about putting into my body every day that functionally worked. And yeah, it took a lot of iterations. And it took a lot of testing and like a lot of experimentation to make all of those things come together. And then I think the biggest challenge too, when you're ever developing products, is it's really easy to lose sight of the customer because you keep making these decisions based on the consequences of just the reality, right? Like we didn't want to use preservatives, so we hot fill, okay, but now the hot fill process removes the ability to use anything like rhodiola root or ginseng or the mushrooms on the market because there's pH consequences. And then, or another example would be like, you don't want to use artificial sweeteners, but now the product tastes worse. Mm. So like, yeah, it's healthier for you, but do customers want a product that tastes like this? So it's like, it's sometimes, you know, this old famous Steve Jobs quote is like, start with the customer experience and then reverse engineer. I think that was something that we, on iteration one, we created the perfect product that, mm-hmm. that no one wanted, if that makes sense.
Makes plenty of iteration, sense, man.
Yeah, in iteration two, we were like, okay, we went too far on the health side. We need to make it taste better. And then, you know, we kept iterating and tinkering, and like we reduced the caffeine and we increased this and we changed this. And we got to a point where we're like, okay, a lot of people like this and it's still very healthy. And we think we have a mass market product. So that was, I think food is very challenging because of shelf life and cost. Yeah. And there's a lot of things that box you in for making, you know, decisions that you want to make. But we were able to navigate, and I'm pretty happy with, you know, our product at the moment.
What was the signal for you, or the sign where you're like, okay, yeah, bingo, we're on the right formula? Like, what was that sign for you?
Our North Star metric is repurchase rate. Like, we just think that repurchase rate is key for food and beverage. If people who try your product are willing to rebuy it again, you know, that's the key. And you can have a lower repurchase rate if you have a very long tail on your lifetime customer value. So like, if less people are willing to rebuy, but those people are absolute diehard repurchasers, like they're going to be with you for years, then you can have a little bit lower repurchase. What we've found is we have a pretty healthy repurchase rate when you look at, like, you know, benchmarks of other people. And, you know, we're between 20% and 40%, depending on like the market and the demographic. And then we have a very strong tail as well. So, you know, a lot of people seem to like the product, and then a lot of people really like the product. And I think that that's, you know, repurchase rate for us is like, because there's so many KPIs and there's so many data points you can look at, but you got to simplify it and just pick one to really focus on. And that for us captures like the health of the business. You know, if we have a healthy repurchase rate, we know the product's good, and we know we can make that work.
And so now that you're coupling this, so you did this online, and now by coupling this with retail, like in a perfect world, right? The person that is, you know, purchasing it online has some at home. Now they go into the gas station or wherever else, and they see it on the shelf, and they're like, oh yeah, I could use one of these. And now you're winning on both ends, because they've already they left it at home, or they don't have one. Oh my gosh, here we go. So now that becomes interesting, right?
That's the key. And if it's like, as we start to go into more retail, we're building lots of momentum. And the other thing too, Adam, is there's a lot of people that probably see our ads or see our product online. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just don't want to buy food and beverage online. It's like,
Not the first time. I'm kind of that way. Like, I want to try it and I'm like, oh, this is good. All right, let's see if I can, you know, buy it in bulk or something else. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, exactly. And so having just the ability
it's a commitment to buy a whole box of something that you don't know if you like.
Agreed. You agree. And it's, you know, like our boxes, you know, first time promotion discount, they're still $18. Mm-hmm. And just being able to grab a shot at a gas station for, you know, $3.99 or $3.49, and it's a very low commitment. And then if you love it, it's a way easier entry into the product. So that's why retail is still very, 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 very important for us. And probably at maturity, you know, when you look at a similar formatted product like us, 5-Hour Energy, you know, they're doing almost $1 billion a year still. Pretty big. It's a pretty big market opportunity. So
yeah, what a story on that one. For sure, for sure. And I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like that whole niche for this, I feel like after 5-Hour Energy, when I'm walking to a gas station or something else, just based off of packaging, based off of other things, like they went far into the energy drink. And I don't mean 5-Hour Energy, I just mean that sector. And I'm just thinking about gas stations when I walk in and I see what's on there. I feel like a lot of the products went the route of like an energy drink almost. And with their branding, everything else, ton of caffeine, who knows what's in it, to the point where I don't even want to pick up one of those things. I'm like, I don't know what that thing is. It's going to make me feel not probably the best for long-term use. But this, when I think about your packaging, when I think what you're doing, like you're bringing some clarity to the space and some health side to the space, to where, you know, there's room on the shelf for that. Like versus the other side, where there's so much energy stuff, where it's just like energy, whatever, they could pump some caffeine into a bottle and sell it, put it on the shelf, like boom, there's 50 of them.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing I like to tell people is like most of those products you're talking about have an ingredient called potassium sorbate in it, which is a preservative. Mm-hmm. And it's an FDA approved preservative. It's actually generally recommended as safe, known as GRAS by the FDA. And potassium sorbate is a poison, which I always crack up at. It's an actual poison. And it's a poison that kills bacteria and it kills fungus. and it kills everything in that drink for sometimes multiple years. But the FDA has decided, you know what? At a small enough dose, it's okay for a human being to consume it. It's not good for you. I think every food scientist, nutritionist, doctor would say, you know what, it's probably better not to put that into your body. But if you're
not
going to
hurt you that much,
probably it's probably safe. You know, it might kill some microbes in your gut. But like, I just don't subscribe to that. When I'm, you know, I tell people when you go to Whole Foods and you see the guacamole section, turn that ingredient thing around, and if it says citric acid, put it back. Look for the guacamole that uses, you know, organic lemon juice that they just squeezed into it. Because the citric acid one, they put citric acid in there, and they probably put it in off-site, and it probably has, you know, a six-week shelf life. Now, guacamole shouldn't have a six-week shelf life. Guacamole should have, you know, like a 12-hour shelf life. Like, grab the one that doesn't have citric acid. When you're buying eggs, like, understand what the different things mean. You know, free range means that chicken had like between 1 and 2 feet of square footage. Like, that's disgusting. Buy the pasteurized raised eggs, which is, you know, chickens have to have at least 100 square feet. Like, really understand what you're putting into your body, because it's, you know, these energy drinks, I mean, I think it's horrific. I think that most of the ingredients in them are poison. And so that's why we're excited about Proper Wild. Like, we're giving people a healthier, better option. We keep it really simple. It's not complicated. It's green tea from, it's caffeine from green tea and L-theanine from green tea, and then a bunch of organic and natural juices. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't get any simpler than that.
It's great. Well, Vincent, first off, this has been a great discussion. Now I even know how to buy my guacamole better. So thank you for that.
Exactly. Stay away from citric acid, Adam.
I'm in, man. I'm like, oh my gosh, now I got some more things to think about. Why do I do this show? No. So, Vincent, if somebody wants to learn more about Proper Wild, follow the journey, connect, how do they do that?
So go to properwild.com and you can check out our site. We are launching gummies very soon, a new format coming out. So that's, you know, if you sign up for our email, you'll get notified about that. We've developed, I think, like the best functional tasting, energy focused productivity gummy on the market, which is exciting. But go to properwild.com. If you chat us up on the site, we'll toss you a discount on your first order as well. And that's, you know, excited for people to try the product, and I hope everyone loves it.
Amazing. And we'll put the links in the show notes so that our audience can go pick up some product. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters, this is a daily show. Each and every day, we're bringing you new founders, new entrepreneurs, new executives, new insights. Hit that subscribe button. Don't want you to miss any of the upcoming content. And we'll also, as I mentioned before, have those links to Proper Wild in the show notes. So you can click on the link and just head right on over and check out the site. And Vincent, thanks so much again for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for sharing your story.
I appreciate the opportunity, Adam. Cheers.